This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Good evening. I have the pleasure to have you here today, and also the enormous proud to have these two people who are longtime friends and extraordinary artists and curators. Lauren Heijie, who is going to introduce Nish today, is one of the star curators of the new European Panorama. He comes from Hungary and was the director of the Moderne Kunst Museum Vienna. Then he's actually the director of the Musée d'Art Moderne Saint-Étienne, and simultaneously he's going to be directing the new Museum of Modern Art in Napoli. His specialty is mainly Central European artists. He did an enormous amount of shows very early about this subject. At the same time, he curated the same shows in the Biennale de Venise, the Sculpture Biennale of Stuttgart. And out of all this background, what I would like to say is that he's one of the few curators who played the game by his own rules and by his own personal, absolutely, taste, which create a very difference from what we see every day in their world. That's why I would like to introduce my friend and great, great, great curator, Laurent Heijie, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, dear Hermann Nitsch, dear Osvaldo Romberg, it's a very nice occasion to be here, first time for me, first time in Philadelphia. In an exhibition, but actually curated by an artist, like a dialogue between two artists, and I think it's a very interesting aspect of this event today. You see here actually videos by Hermann Nitsch, which are in a certain way already a very strange phenomenon. It's not really documentation of his performances. They are also work of arts with their own aesthetical entity. At the same time, they really represent not only the performances, but about they give a lot of information about the esprit around these performances. They give a very good deep look on this strange atmosphere which is between the work of art, which is a process, which is a happening, which is a performance, and the social context, a small micro community who follows Nietzsche in different places in the world. And Osvaldo mentioned that I work with Hermann Nitsch for a very long time. I met him 86 in Budapest, almost 20 years ago. Then we were living very near to each other when I was a director in the Museum of Modern Art in Vienna, and he is living in Prinzensdorf in a 17th century Baroque palace, which you don't imagine a Baroque palace like Versailles. It is a very rural Austrian Baroque, late Baroque castle with immediate connection with the agricultural society around, and it's also a very important aspect of his oeuvre. Then we made exhibitions in Groningen, in Sweden, in Rome, in Italy, in Valencia, in Spain, in Paris, in Budapest, in Vienna a lot. I presented his work in Buenos Aires at the first Biennale of Buenos Aires, and it was really very interesting to see that, especially in Europe, and especially for his performances in Neapel, where he is making every year a performance, it's always a certain group of friends, fans, admirers, follow him like a small community, like a tribad, like a group of people who are knowing this special language and who are participating in this special ritual, but who are also participating in the fests, in the festa. And if you see in all the videos, you can see people who are eating, drinking, speaking with each other, walking, that evokes a certain state of art. It's not only a work of art that you can see from a certain, let's say, museological situation. It is a form of art which is living together with the real life, eating, drinking, sleeping. In the real time, there are happenings, and the people who are consuming the art, they are also consuming normally. They are eating, sleeping, speaking, going, coming. It's a little bit like the Middle Ages theater, when also people were eating and coming and speaking with the actors, which was not a clear border between, let's say, the aesthetical world and everyday life. And that's a very central element of the art of Hermann Nietzsche. He is speaking a lot about the real time and the real action and the real experience. The real experiences of all kind of sensual experiences, seeing, smelling, eating, drinking, hearing, listening, everything at the same time, and this time is the real time of the action. The Orgien Mysterian Theater, what he gave as title of his activity of the last 30 years, which originates from the happening periods, the word, the terminus technicus, theater, in the modern terminology, at least from the 18th century, involves a certain kind of distance between audience and the actors. In this case, I would say we can use this category, theater, but we must also very much concretize which kind of theater we are speaking about. And that is the other source of his aesthetics. Nietzsche wrote in the Birth of the Tragedy a very important essay about the interpretation of the whole antique culture, independently whether his theory is 100% correct from the point of view of the history of theater, but evidently true that the origin of the Greek theater as any other mimetical action was in the ritual, in the cults, in the religious cults, in the cults, first of all, of the salvation, the cults of the sacrifice. That is one of the oldest myths of the humanity, to give something, to sacrifice something in order to get the life, to get the values, to get the perspective for a complete life, to give something to get the totality. And this sacrifice in all religion, in all mythical imagination of the world is always present. Very interestingly, but also from the point of view of the Freudism, the classical Freudism, very logically, this kind of sacrifice is always connected with a certain kind of hedonism. We want to enjoy the life. We know that we must sacrifice something, but at the same time, we take everything euphoristically, more and more and more and more. We want to be in the real life. We want to concentrate, and concentrating, enjoy the life. So these two elements, hedonism, sensual pleasure, sensual experience, and sacrifice, cult, dealing with the extreme moments of the human existence, death and life, love and hate, concentration on the ego and giving up the ego in a collective ritual. They are very, very important elements of the aesthetical strategy of Hermann Nietzsche. If we want to localize his work, then I would say we have two system of coordinates. One is more or less the 20th century art, in which we see different elements after the Second World War, which we in the American context collect under the category happening, actionism, action painting, dealing with the action as a part of the artistic praxis. Then we have a genealogy of this development from the écriture automatique of the surrealist, who discovered and declared as main issue of their praxis the automatism, eliminate the control of the consciousness and to develop techniques which can immediate communicate subconscious experiences. First of all, the so-called écriture automatique, writing what was taken by the American action painters and abstract expressionists, is one of these methods. The other thing, the other very important element, is more the European context. To go with the psychoanalysis in the background, with the experience of the Freudis, and don't forget that Hermann Nietzsche is an Austrian artist working in Vienna, which was evidently also the literature, also the music, also the art theory, and also the art praxis, evidently influenced by the Freudism, by the huge heritage of the Freudism. The Freudis try to regard the cultural history also from the point of view of basic anthropological issues. And Hermann Nietzsche, when he reinterprets the antique mythology, always with the rites, different rites of the sacrifice, he reinterprets the Nietzschean reading of the Greek theater, which was basically connected with this ritual aspect of the art, not the Apollonian creation of the beauty and the beautiful form, the pure beautiful form, which is a sublimation, but on contrary, the participation in the events, the participation even in the crime, collective events, to be able to try to find the collective salvation. This kind of dark side of the antique culture about Nietzsche was writing, this non-Apollonian, this Dionysian aspect, we re-find in the Neoplatonism, first of all in Plotinus' theory, in which the regard of the beauty and the regard of the god is the same euphoristic experience. When we are slowly purificate and concentrate on this experience to meet the god, but in the moment when we meet the god, it is no more a pure religious spiritual experience, it is an euphory, it is an orgia, if we want to say. And this is a very important aspect, that the very extreme poles, like the pure spiritual experience of the totality, the universe, and the experience of the totality in the physical, brutal, complex, sensual reality, they meet in one point. They have a certain meeting point, and that is this super intensive moment when we realize our existence. Hermann Nietzsche is speaking a lot and writing a lot about this aspect of the aesthetics. Aesthetics, in his interpretation, is a super concentration of all kind of experiences in order to create the basic experience, which is perhaps once we can get, to catch the reality, to experience the totality of the reality, even if before and after we are existing in different fragments of this totality. In this sense, his third source of his aesthetic is the Gesamtkunstwerk idea, the total artwork, which is actually formulated by Richard Wagner, who created not only a theory of the Gesamtkunstwerk, but also in his whole musical praxis and literature praxis, writing a new myth, creating a total vision about the total experience of the existence. Evidently, one model for Hermann Nietzsche. The difference is that of course Wagner was believing in a certain way in a new mythology which could serve as a direction, as a compass for the reorganization of the cultural life. Nietzsche is much more antique in this sense, much more archaic. He doesn't want to give the people a direction. He wants to show them what is the reality. In this sense, real Dionysian artist who connect the sensual experience with this kind of vision of the totality. He himself is writing poems, writing books, composing music, and painting, real painting, let's say, pictures, creating pictures, but actually all these aspects are connected in the Orgien Mysterien Theater. Orgien Mysterien Theater, all the three words are very important. Theater, even if it is not a modern theater, it seems to be like a ultra-modern performance, basically is very much based on the Middle Ages processus, in the Middle Ages theater, in the Mysterian theater of the late Middle Ages, when people really participated in the processes, as well as in the big popular fest, in the big popular ritual events, paganism, Christianism, and if we are thinking the ritual of the French Revolution, for example, or any kind of religious movements from the late 16th century, we find always this element to connect the different levels of the interpretation in a one big collective play. And Hermann Nietzsche, and that is a very important element, Hermann Nietzsche is a modern artist, a contemporary artist, who knows very well that it is a play. If you see all the videos, you can see exactly that he is walking around. He is like a dirigent. He is like a movie director. He is like a magician who gives the signs, who gives the different signs to the actors what they should do. That means he has a certain distance with the play, and he has also a certain distance with the public. That means that the message is that we should try, everybody, each individual, try to interiorize this experience of the totality, but at the same time, the artist knows, he is aware that he is an artist. He is not a shaman, he is not a magician, he is not a messias, he is an artist. And it's a very, very important element. That is exactly the difference between the cult, the religion, any kind of mystical belief on mystical power, and the aesthetical situation, the aesthetical position. The aesthetic is a sublimation system in which he uses all the elements of a magical, mystical, subconscious language, but at the same time he is the master of the language, he is the artist. He never gives up this kind of aesthetical distance, which is exactly the guarantee that we get an aesthetical world and we are not somehow terrorized by a certain kind of crazy, mad new religion. And that's a very important element. That Hermann Nietzsche's work is very, very often criticized because of blasphemy, because he uses all kind of religious elements, I would say, not at all only from Christianity, but all kind of religious praxis, cultical praxis. But he is not interested in any kind of blasphemy because he is outside of this discussion. He is using the cultural metaphor, which is from the very beginning of the human culture, is working with mystical elements, but it is not mystical knowledge. It is not religion. It is not any kind of messianism. It is an artistic position. And as artistic position, I see his activity in the context of the so-called performance, happening, body art, which is a huge history. If we think from Alain Caprot and Rauschenberg till the late 80s radical performances, the special position of Hermann Nietzsche is, in my opinion, a very clear position which is completely involved a Central European cultural history. If I say Central European cultural history, it doesn't mean that it doesn't reflect any other references from the German or Italian or antique Greek, Latin, Jewish, Christian culture. But it means that he himself, as artist, is very much aware of his position. He is looking this huge heritage and the discourse about the power of the arts, the possibility of the salvation through art, from Nietzsche till Joseph Beuys, from a very special point of view, an artist in Central Europe who is working inside of a cultural tradition which is, from one side, very strongly influenced by the popular Baroque Catholic tradition, from the Middle Ages praxis of cult, on the other side by the Freudism, which was elementary in the whole Central European cultural movements, and especially in Austria, of course. On the other side, he is very much aware of the great tendencies of the second half of the 20th century. He is a very well educated artist, not a spontaneous, not a, let's say, amateur artist. He knows very well what happened before and what happened parallel with his activity. If you think in the German, Austrian, Swiss, Middle Central European context, from Dieter Roth till the Vienna Actionism, or the Italian movements of the visual poetry, performance, and so on, then his oeuvre is very well established in this context. But he is working very courageously with the elements of the different cults of salvation, sacrifice, which are more and more and more concentrating on the search of the possibility to catch and interiorize the experience of the totality. And I think that if we are thinking on the 20th century art, or actually I would say from the Romantic till today, more or less 200 years of European or Western art, one of the questions always returning and reformed in this context is how we can experience this feeling of the totality in a world which is always more and more and more loses the experience of the totality. The totality will be more and more theory, more and more sublimated, and Hermann Nietzsche radically returns to the basic elements and try to show we can catch it, we can experience it, we can enter, we have this experience, and then we leave. We are not forced to be inside like in a religious belief. We are free to enter and free to leave, and that is the magic force of the artist. Thank you very much.
I have nothing to say. I'm very happy that so many people arrived to look at my work, and I'm happy that there's, a real true interest to look at my work and to hear about my work. Two things I want to say. The man who did these videos and who produced it, and he is always the chef of the camera team, he's here, and he's also very important that we can see this. That's the one thing. The other thing is it's very, very important to come to Prinzendorf and to take part on this live performance. You have to smell it, you have to taste it, you have to touch it, and you have to see it here and now. That's very, very important. All the documentation is very, very, is, I repeat, is very, very important, but I'm not impolite. I'm not against this documentation. I'm very, very happy about it. But very, very important is to take to be in Prinzendorf and to have a real experience and to use all your five senses. So thank you.
Before we close the speech, I would like to thank the galleries of Nietzsche, the New York representative, which is here, my wife's gallery, and Heike Kurze, Vienna, Berlin, represented also today here. And thank you for everybody who supported us in this, I think, important show for Philadelphia.
And thank you again to Herman for joining us and for being here. Action.
And I have to say thank you to the director of the gallery, to my friend Eggy, who spoke he spoke very good.
Alice, very much. Thanks, everybody.